you got no message. But it should be okay. I want to talk to you today on purpose, okay, which is very important. And we do have the young kids. I call them kids. Anybody that's below 20, you're a kid to me, because I'm older maybe. We're going to start taking the boys and the girls, 12, 13, in this sanctuary. Because I'll tell you what, if we cannot minister to them, and if we cannot minister to the older people, then we're not ministering to anybody. You know what I mean? So it's going to be, it's got to be from every age. The message has to reach every person, and it has to change every life. Do we understand that? So I wanna focus on that, because some of you may have teenager, and you say, well, they don't fit really upstairs. They're too old. They don't fit really downstairs. No, they do fit here. It doesn't matter how old you are. You do fit here, and God has a word for you for today. So purpose, I look in the dictionary. I always start like this. It says aim, target, intention. Okay, so it's a, remember one time I had my bow and arrow? There's still a hole in the wall behind that thing there. And it came out in the cafe. And everybody had cleared the first row over there before I shot. So purpose is really something that you're going to aim for. It's your intention, right? It's your object in view, meaning you're viewing something that you want to achieve, somehow is driving you. And sometimes God put that purpose. Well, God puts purpose in each one of us. Do you understand that? We all have a purpose in this life, and don't let anybody steal that from you. You know, you could be only a housewife, and I say only a housewife because that's maybe what you think. You're only a housewife, but you have those jewels in the home that God has given you, and this is a time when you're raising them, you're pouring into them what God tells you to pour, you know, and what you know. So it's very important, okay? So what is purpose? And what have I been created for? What's your purpose? And what have you been created for? The answer is, you think I got the answer for you? I don't. I don't know why God created you, but He has a purpose. And it's for you to find. And usually, we can find it through the Word of God. Right? That's He created us. He's the creator. And we'll come down to this later. He is the manufacturer. Is that a big word? Yes, it is. Good. So manufacturer. Okay. All right. The greatest enemy of purpose is I'm not worthy. You know, a lot of you hear that sometimes, people feel down. Depression. All it is I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I am not. And you know, people, and you know, sometimes it's not about depression, you think that way. You don't think you can do it. You think you can maybe do it, but not very good, and so therefore you're not doing it, okay? I'm not worth anything. I am a mistake. Everybody is better than I. That would stop the purpose of God in your life. My job is that, I'll say, my purpose is that you hear me saying to you, you have a place in this hurt. And you know, people say, well, they focus on the natural. I'm too tall. I'm too skinny. I'm too big. My nose. Mostly girls look at it attractive, you know, and, well, my hips too big or whatever. And they focus on something that has no value, really. for the purpose. When Moses was on the mountain and God spoke to him, he said, I want you to take those children and take them in the promised land. Not good enough. I mean, I ran away from Egypt. I mean, he wants to kill me. And all that, you know, I mean, I chose somebody else. But God is saying, I've chosen you for this time and this purpose. Just like Esther. Isn't that true? So we're here and you don't know. This is the greatest thing that you don't know because it gets you to look and to find out God and you reflect. It's like the psalm says, Shiloh, meaning reflect on that. So reflect on who you are and what God has done in your life and what he wants you to do. Because he has a purpose for you. And you got to find it. Okay? So, we chose to believe a lie about ourselves. How many do that sometimes? I do that too. Okay? Memory verse for today. Memory verse for today. You better know it next week. It's Psalm 139, verse 14. That's Candy's verse. Isn't that right, Candy? Psalm 139, verse 14. And I could read more, but I'm just going to read this verse, which says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. David is talking to his God. He's fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at your neighbor. Tell him you're wonderful. All right, you are wonderfully made. So has God created a mistake? And you know what? That's the point. And if you're a teenager or a young person and you don't know where you fit, you don't know who you are, you don't know what, God has created you. Psalm. You got to remember that. That's all. Forget John 3:16. You know, Psalm 139, verse 14. You are wonderfully made, fearfully and wonderfully made. And this is good. Now, Nikita was sitting here a while ago. She has a little baby. I think she's got the youngest in the church. And I'm sure when Nikita looks at this baby, she see a wonder. Little finger. Little toes. I mean, Chris thinks his baby is beautiful. She thinks her baby is way more beautiful than your baby. And you think your baby is beautiful, but she thinks, because that's the way we are. I used to think Nathan was beautiful until I look at the kids. He was really rough. I mean, he was born like, he looked like a boxer. And he had all the scratch and everything, whatever. And he's beautiful. But then you look at it in the nursery. Oh, look at this little one. Awesome. Right? But you get used to the look. So listen, you've got to get used to the fact that God has created you for purpose. He's beautiful now. Yes, he's okay now. Okay. All right. Okay. So we have a video to show you today. You probably saw it before. I got to look at his name. It's Nick VGC. VGC or something. You know, he has no arm and no leg. And I just want to go to the extreme. Okay? And then we'll continue the message. Are you ready? All right. So he happened to be at, what's her name? Oprah. Okay, and he's very bold. I like his boldness. I mean, so okay, you go ahead.
Born in Australia without arms or legs, 30-year-old big voyages has become a symbol of triumph against all odds. His inspiring YouTube videos have been watched over 100 million times.
It's a lie to think that you're not good enough. It's a lie to think that you're not worth anything.
But the road to self-acceptance was excruciating for Nick. For years, he was harassed and tormented at school. When he was 10, Nick attempted suicide. After years of feeling worthless and alone, Nick's awakening came while reading an article about a disabled man who refused to let physical limitations hold him back. In that moment, Nick says he discovered the power to take control of his life, and he has. Today, Nick surfs, he snorkels, he golfs, and plays soccer. He's traveled to 44 countries with his message of hope.
Even the worst part of your life can come together for the good.
And less than a year ago, Nick married the love of his life and danced at their wedding. Unbelievable. As you've heard, people complain about the spots on their face, and people complain about not having a boyfriend and not being able to have the mates of their life. What happened to you that you were able to take all of your chemistry, being born with no arms and no legs, take your connections, your relationships, your life circumstances, your state of consciousness, and then choose, make the conscious choice that you were going to take all of that, which the rest of the world looks at, you know, undeniably as a pretty bad hand, and that you were going to turn it into something, you were going to be exalted by it. What happened to you that you were able to do that?
Oprah, I know that you love to think out of the box and have things outside of the box in your show. And I know that you love illustration, so if I may illustrate in about 180 seconds, can I do something a little crazy, but it'll be powerful? Is that cool? You got a camera behind me, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you. Come. This step right here, is there enough light here? Okay. The chemistry, I was born without arms and legs. The chemistry I could not change in my life. I know that God didn't give me this pain, but what the enemy tried to use for bad, he turned into good. Man. The connections. I want to tell Porsche. Look, I'm a guy. I love cars, okay? And I love Porsches more than Ferraris, okay? And I want everyone to know that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. And until you can actually understand that we are all wonderfully and fearfully made from God, I want you to know that you will always be trapped and chained and you will be stopped. But when you have the incredible power of faith in action, nothing holds you back. And you're beautiful just the way that you are. No worries. For me, I felt the connection. For me, in my life, I'm thinking, man, I'm not going to get married. I can't even hold my wife's hand. What connection am I going to have? But you know what? All things come together for the good for those who love him. Danny. This is a little bit high. I'm going to break my arm, man. This is pretty crazy. All right. Circumstances. Being born without arms and legs, man, it's all about choice. You asked me what it was. I had parents who were my heroes. They always said, you can either be angry for what you don't have or be thankful for what you do have. Do your best and God will do the rest. Then consciousness. Because I gave my life to Lord Jesus Christ and the renewing of my mind, wow, I knew that I could be unstoppable.
Okay, awesome. So if he can be unstoppable, you can be unstoppable. Isn't that true? All right, let's finish this. How many people can see the purpose of God in his life? Because he has made some choice, discovered that he is somebody, and went forth and began to talk about what he has. He has life. Look at your arm. Look at your legs. I mean, you got arms and legs. Just in the physical, you can do way more than he can do. All that he has is his, basically his brain, his mind, and he's using it. And you know, God has given you everything that you need for this life. And you know, don't settle for less. You know, say, God, what's my purpose? I want to know. And as you ask this question and you do stuff, you go to school, you learn, eventually you would fall into the plan of God. And you know, one day, say, yeah. I always remember this guy on TV one time. He was looking for a year, the purpose of God. And he was on mission trip in Russia, and he was standing in the street. Then somebody pulled his leg. I talked to you about that before. And it was a little kid that stayed on the street. And you know, they have those holes like this, there, big hole, and they live underground because it's hot a little bit during the winter. And he went down there, and he looked at all the kids that was on there, and he began to work with the kids. That's all he did all his life. That was his calling. Somebody pulled on his pants leg. And the purpose of God for his life was discover. And you know what? I don't know what is yours. That's for you to find. And you will find. Because everybody will. Okay? But you know, you see the purpose of God in his life, but you still don't know yours. That's okay. As long as you're willing to wait on him, seek him, you will find it. God will open door. God will close door. And you know, you will see, yeah, I can't go there. I just don't want to go there because I don't feel right, right? Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Where do we find the truth? God's word. People can talk truth to you, and that's awesome. People can talk lie to you, and you know it will cause you to go away from the truth. But what I'm saying to you, you're going to have to make a choice and say, this is true, this is what I'm following. God created us with a purpose in his mind. I have to understand that. God created you with a purpose in his mind. God said, my children perish for a lack of knowledge. And you know, because the children, the parents perish, what happened to the children? Well, yeah. Now, if you know nothing, and you teach your children nothing, what happened? They know nothing. All right? So that's what happened. So we don't want to do that. We want to learn. We want to learn what God has to say. And I'm going to find out where I am because I lost my page here. So you have to choose to believe the truth. Or you can choose to believe a lie. You know, how many, Adolf Hitler. He thought he could make a super race and get rid of all the people that are, he says, no good, and we'll make a super race. He believed a lie, and he was zealous about that. How much more if we believe the truth about who we are, our purpose, and we chose to walk in it and gradually to walk in that place, how much more? As we become zealous for it, is it going to happen? Is it going to produce something? And we're going to reach the place that God created us to be. My children perish for a lack of knowledge. Okay. Let's talk about manufacturing. I said that word a while ago. I was involved in manufacturing for a few years, okay? The greatest thing that I ever did, not to brag on it, was the roller blade. I created that in 1974, I believe. Guy came to me with the idea, and I said, hey, that looks good. I could tell a good idea. And I spent about 2-3 days, and I designed them and everything, and exactly what you have today, right? I said, oh, this is awesome. I could use a pair of those, right? But the manufacturing of it, then I went over, as we were in Toronto, began to work in my own place and manufacturing things, designing things. And I love that, you know, design things and make them. But there's a thing when you buy something that is manufacturing, like this iPad, which you guys gave it to me, came in a box. When you take the wrapping of the box, for those who don't have an iPad, okay, just to make you want one, I guess. I know. You open the cover, and there's a manual there. Okay, tells you how to operate this thing. Well, in this case, it's all on the web. You don't print a big book; it'd be that thick. You just go on the web. There's a manual. Now, before you use something, you're supposed to look at. How many people always look at the manual? You do. I know, Kendra, you do. You didn't have to put your hand up. We knew that. I bought a lawnmower in May, or a brand new lawnmower. So I went to Lowe's, bought this lawnmower that I picked. I liked it. And I said, okay, this is the one. They had many, but I made my choice. That's the one. So the guy loads it in a buggy. I take it home. Open the box. Guess what's in the box? Manual right on top. How to use this lawnmower. But because I'm 60-some years old, I know how to use a lawnmower. All you do, you put gas and oil, right? And then, so I take it out of the box. Everything is there, the wheel. I just put the handle on, put the gas in, and everything. And then I go to start it. And you know, this thing gets harder and harder. And I said, oh no, the thing is jammed. And I could not pull this thing. The lawnmower would just pop like this. And I was upset. I'm going back to the store now. Go back to the store with the lawnmower in the back. I said, of all the lawnmower, I said, this one is not working. Okay, well, no problem, sir. Just go and get another one. So I go get another one. I get to the lawnmower department, and this time the lady is there. So I said to her, oh, I got a bad one. I said, it wouldn't start. But I like this one better. She said, yeah. Oh, yeah, this one is more expensive a little bit. So, but I said, the other one, the cord was hard to pull. It wouldn't start. But he said, those new ones, you've got to clamp your hand on here and close it. Then you can pull on it. And I'm looking at myself, and I said, oh, my God. This thing is okay. I just bought it back because I did not read the manual. And you know what? You buy a toaster, whatever, you don't read the manual. You just plug it in thinking it's going to work, right? How many has you got a cell phone here, okay? You just got this thing?
No, I
did. Did you read the manual?
No.
Okay. This thing has probably hundreds of functions. I mean, there's probably a million apps on the market that you could stick on there. Don't get me wrong. I could be wrong, but and you probably only know a couple of functions like send a text or use it as a phone. And you know, you just know the basic of this thing. Is that true? It's true. And maybe some of you are smarter. You know maybe 4 or 5 functions. And somebody else's phone went off there, right? You didn't know you can shut it off at church. It's called a plane something, right? So what am I saying? I said, when somebody designed a project, he has something in mind. Okay, when you design something, you're the brain. You're the mind. And that's why you put the book with the things that you designed so that people, when they open the box, they know your mind, the mind of the creator, whoever designed, whether it's a car, whether it's a toaster, whether it's a phone, whether it's anything, there's an instruction book from the creator that says this is how you use it, and this is what you do, and this is what you don't do. How many believe that God's word is the instruction book? So God has an instruction book for you to follow for his purpose and your purpose. So that's what he did. So God designed you and he gave you a manual. Are we going to read the manual? Because there's some good instruction. How many likes car? Okay? How many likes car? Car. C-A-R. Car. What did you think I said? Huh? Scar. Forget the scar. There's a guy that comes over here. I don't know his name. He's got a McLaren. Is that what? McLaren. Now, I'm not much on car, but it's nice. It's not a scar. It's a car. And he parks it there, and he kind of walks slow around it. You could tell he likes to show this thing. But it's built. It's got, it's low from the ground. It's kind of wide. It's got these tires. And you know that this thing is not a Toyota or a Ford. You know that if you get into this thing, it takes a while because it's so small. You know, you sit like this and the roof closed. It's like you're in a spaceship. And people look at that and say, oh, that's the kind of car I'd like. You would like that, right? You would, yes. So this guy owns this car and he parks in the front. So what is a car built for? Get from point A to point B. You can get there with an old Ford or you can get there with a McLaren. You can get there with an old Ford first if you choose to go fast or whatever, right? And what I'm saying to you is there's a purpose going from point A to B, but two different vehicles you can use. You can use my little old Toyota with 500,000 kilometers on it. True? Yeah. Or you can use this McLaren that comes and park in front of the church here. Both will get you at the same place. Now, if you look in the McLaren, which I looked one time, but I didn't remember the speedometer, I think it'll go 250, 280 kilometers an hour. Your car will probably go maybe 140, 150, I don't know. Okay? That's if it stays there, because the motor might give up after a while, right? So the builder, the manufacturer of the expensive car, sports car, which is worth hundreds of thousands, I don't know how much, has designed this machine with this engine in it that may have 500-600 horsepower, and it's built for racing, and it's built to it purrs like a kitten, and it will take you someplace just like that. Right, Bill? Where's Bill? Okay. This week, Bill has no license, and he drove somebody at the hospital. 100 miles an hour or pretty close, I don't know. The guy had cut all his finger. So it was a matter of minutes before he gets to the hospital. So he jumped in his guy's seat, and the guy's bleeding to death. All his finger gone. And he's taking him down, and the police, two cruisers was chasing him because he went by the police station at a high speed. If he would have had a McLaren, you would have been there in 2 seconds. Good thing you hadn't one of those. You wouldn't have made it. Anyway, and the police got him right there at the hospital, but, you know, this guy was just about dying. Anyway, Bill always happened in those things, you know. Right. He's got a story every week. Okay. So the manufacturer has built that sports car to go that fast. But you take a hole and say, okay, you can drive it, and you drive it at 80 kilometers an hour. You're going down the road, nice car, just purring, and you're at 80. Does the car have the ability to go faster? And somebody wipes you, and he comes 100 click, and you say, wow, this guy is cruising along, and he's got an old beaten chair. But what you don't know is that in the car that you're driving, if you just step on it, the guy with the old Chev, you're just going to bury him in the dust. Because, you know, you've got something that was created for a purpose. You know, there's some autoroute. How do you say that in English? Highway? It's not highway. It's Bahn something. I forget. Autobahn in Germany. There's no speed limit. You can take that McLaren there, and you can go, you know, 200, 250, whatever. It doesn't matter. Not anymore. Why do you bust a bubble here? You know? You're making my message don't sound too good. Most of us in our life were driving an old rusted van to take our kids to swimming lessons or whatever. And you know, we get in that mindset, we're just going from point A to point B. And you know, we got this whole natural, you know, sometimes we do that. We take our kids here and take our kids there. We're just a mommy's taxi or something like that, you know, or daddy's taxi or grandma's taxi and whatever. And we forget that we were created for something better. Not that it's bad to take your kids there, but we get used to the place where we go 50 or 60 and, oh, that feels pretty good. I mean, you want to pass a car, and you step on the left lane, and you step on it, they go, and the thing happened, and then you see the dotted line is finishing, you see there's a car about 2 miles ahead, and you're trying to pass this car. And this is the mindset that we have sometimes, is that mindset that we just can't do it. Nick is showing us that he can do it, you can do it. You know, you can follow God and his purpose, and you can reach it. But people will stop you. Yesterday I was at a picnic, and, you know, we went, my wife and I go and talk to people, right? We're used to that. So we would go to talk to this person here, a couple here. I'm looking behind, and there's this lady there with two kids, about 7 or 8. And as I look at one kid, they don't say nothing. They're just staring at the grass. Those are the kind of kids I like. And I said, and then I get a word, oral, okay? That's the word I get, oral. So I'm getting that right now, not right now, but then I get, okay, well, because I operated in the gift of the Spirit, I know that that's just a word meaning mouth. So I say, okay, God, this guy has a very good speech. He's very talented. His gifting is his mouth. Okay? So I'm not shy anymore. So I go to the kids, and the mother is there. I said, you have a very good mouth. I said it rough too, you know. But the mother picked it up. She said, you know what? You're absolutely right. This kid is going to be a teacher. He can talk so good. Now, I haven't heard him, but it's like this morning when I said to you guys, I said, okay, whoever wants to belong to this church, it's just a thought that you get. See, in order to get in the purpose of God, God's going to speak to you somewhere. So, but I'm telling you that for this reason. The mother said, this boy is going to be a teacher. Already brand him with his gifting as a teacher. That's a no-no, because he grows up, well, I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a teacher. And maybe you're robbing him of the purpose of God in his life. As he grows, and I didn't say anything about that because I only got the revelation of this after, that she's branding a kid already. That, you know, this is what he's going to do. Who are you to say what he's going to do? He's got a gifting. He could be a politician. He could be an orator someplace. He could be an MP here or there. We don't want to brand people. So listen, my thing today is listen to God. Some people can speak things over you, and that's okay sometimes. But if it doesn't fit the program, put it on the shelf. And that's how my wife and I, we learned to live. Ever since we got saved, 27 we were, and when things happened, we didn't know, put it on the shelf. And then after a while, take it back off the shelf. Yeah, I think that's right. This is wrong. And you know, we raise our kids like that, we live like that, and God spoke to us here and there. We messed it sometime, but whatever happened, the purpose of God is being done in our life. Not because we're pastors, because we can see something that we couldn't see before. You've got to be able to see something in your life that you couldn't see before. The truth is in God's word. And as you read it, maybe something can happen out there. God will lead you to different things, like the guy with the legs thing. And when he does that, and he leads you, and then, oh, you know you should be doing singing. Or you should be, because you got a voice like a bird. You just know that when you sing, people are just kind of, ooh, you kind of, ooh, whatever. And but you're not doing it. You're not pursuing it because you stop because of this or that. Do you know something? I'm going to finish with this. You know where the richest place on the earth is? Well, you're going to say, you probably passed this place on the way to church this morning. The most richest place in the earth is a cemetery. If you were to dig in a cemetery, you would find dreams that have never been dreamt. You would find people with songs that were never sang. You would see people with maybe business that never happened because they did not pursue what God had set in their life. You know, you would find painting that was never painted before because somebody discouraged them because that was the purpose to put on canvas what they could see in the natural or in the spiritual. So many dreams lay there. And it's dormant. I don't want your dream, your purpose, to lay dormant. I want you to achieve and go for it. From God, it's awesome. You know, it'll change your world. I'm going to ask Leonard, if you want to bring that table over here, we're going to have communion. Okay, I'm going to have a word of testimony here. Joyce, you have a dream. She had a dream. It says that old man and old woman will have a dream, right? Come on. Very good. She had a dream. So let's see if we can interpret that dream. I don't know much about it. My wife said you had a dream. I trust you had a dream.
Yes.
Okay. Now speak loud and look at them.
I will.
All right.
It's not a subject that one wants to bring into the sanctuary, but it has to be told because I was warned many times and I pushed it aside. I didn't want. I dread talking in front of a big group of people. Pastor's used to it. But anyway, I don't know if anybody watches soccer.
Nobody watches soccer.
Nobody. I do. Once in a while, when the FIFA comes on, there's one nation against the other. I watch it. Needless to say, England lost, but it doesn't matter. If I missed them all, it wouldn't matter to me. But every time I watched the game, I would see, and their fellows got a goal, they would point upwards, or they'll make the sign of the cross, or get on their knees and still point upwards. And I think to myself, I said this out in my living room. I said, Lord, they must be all Christians. Not so. That night, the Lord gave me a dream and showed me men. They were all men that looked like soccer men. All the same height, about 6'1", 6'2". All standing in a row, but they all stood in a way. You couldn't see their nakedness. They were naked. They had no clothes on. But there was one fellow, not quite so tall. He ran up the stairs, up to a huge white building, but the door was open, but it had no lock. And as he went in, the door shut. And as I lay there thinking about what the Lord has given me, this is all symbolism, really. And I thought, well, the door stands for Christ. Once you go in, the door is shut. You can shout. So you think about the 10 maidens that said that went in early. Then there were the other 5 who came late. And well, we prophesied for him. We did this, and the Lord says, I do not know you. Go away. Every time I used to read that, just to hit me right in the middle of my heart, and I thought, what a terrible thing to be told by the Lord that he didn't know you. But the Lord showed me that these men were naked because they did not have their robes of righteousness. And the Lord knows who are his. He knows him. He sees us. He knows that if we are just coming for a social gathering, either to impress neighbors, friends, or relatives. But God knows the heart. And he's watching. He knows, and he's waiting. And time is running short. I heard the Lord say last month, I am coming soon, my child, and we'll all be together. I just wept. And I'm hoping that every person here with their family members, that they've all given their heart. Because in the churches today, there are a lot of people that have crept in that haven't given their heart to the Lord. They think they won't be noticed. They do the same things. That's just these men pointed up and made the sign of the cross and wept on the ground. And many of them waved their hands, praising the Lord. They even could quote the scriptures. But their heart is far from God. God wants their heart. And he knows who are his, because he can see you naked. Every one of us are naked until we give our heart to the Lord. It's running short. Our Lord is coming very, very soon. And there's no time for games. Make up your mind now. If you don't, we have 3 pastors here. Pastor Job, Pastor Sharon, and Pastor Travis. 3 pastors we've been blessed with. Nobody is going to point a finger at you. Every person that gives their heart to the Lord, the angels rejoice over you. And when we hear it here, the people rejoice, because you're in the family of God. So I say hallelujah, glory to God. I pray that many conscience will be pricked today. If you haven't given your heart to the Lord, give it before it is too late. And you hear those words, I do not know you. Awful. Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, that's a good word. Maybe you're a preacher after all, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a preacher, huh? Yeah. You are an awesome preacher. You know, it's awesome that a lady can live all her life for God, and even right up to your last day serve God, right? Awesome. And you know, I wanna continue on what she says. If you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, maybe you know him because of your mom and dad or where you went to church. It's not about that. You've got to know him so that he can say, well done. I know you. Come on in. And you know, that's the gospel in a nutshell. Give your heart to the Lord. Ask him to come into your life. And when you do that, he comes in. Awesome. So simple. We can trip over it. He comes in when we ask. If we don't ask, he doesn't come in. The Holy Spirit is such a gentleman. He will never override your will. So what we're going to do is we're going to pass the emblem here this morning. We're going to have communion and we're going to finish because it's 10 after. But before that, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you want to rise and stand up and say, I want to know Christ, I want to be born again, then you can do that. Same as those people walked at the front. They did it. Feels good? Awesome. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all you have to say is, come in, Lord. Come in, Lord. Let's take the emblem and